HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast. This is Tech for Change.
All systems stand by to transmit now.
Hey, this is Kay, and that's how I introduce myself on my morning show at 94.3 Radio 1, which I host and produce. Welcome to my podcast. This is Tech for Change. Very often, technology is used for good things and sometimes for bad things as well. So much so that flux between the two causes people to lose faith in technology. This podcast is aimed at changing all of that. I'm going to introduce you to some wonderful people, companies, and industries who are using technology for social good, social change, and a positive impact. All of this, of course, to make this world a better place using technology. Tune in every week on hdsmartcast.com and listen to the podcast. HD Smartcast is India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Let's get straight to this week's episode. I'm sure you've seen climate change as a topic quite often. I'm sure you've heard of the term carbon financing, but not many people really know what it is. To be honest with you, I didn't as well until I got married, and we'll figure out why in a second. But first, I want to introduce you to our special guest for the day. Two founders who have set up a beautiful little DeFi startup that offers a hint of optimism by addressing climate change through financing. We'll talk to Saurabh and Ankit Mathur, who are both joining us on the show this morning. They're the founders of Offset Farm. Guys, what's up? How are you? Good to see you both.
Thank you, Kay. We are all well. Just happy to be talking with you here.
Awesome. I think you're doing well. Ankit is doing really well. He had a haircut, so looking extra good. Extra fly.
Thank you for the compliment.
So guys, we're looking at carbon financing, and not many people kind of understand what that is. And let me give you context into saying why I know about it now, because I'm married. My wife's actually into carbon finance in a very large way. She's the head of partnerships for a carbon financing company that's based out of Singapore. So I know this space pretty well because she talks about it all the time. But what I'm excited about is when I came across you guys, I find that you use decentralized finance to actually do this. And that intrigues me, because you get investments that come in to finance climate projects. They're listed on the platform. They're represented by NFTs, which you guys call Sprout, if I'm not mistaken. And you've introduced a offset token, which is backed by a carbon credit and equivalent to 1 ton of CO2 saved. A lot of jargon, a lot of concepts that many common folk might not understand. Saurabh, can I start with you just breaking down for us, what is carbon finance?
Sure, okay. So carbon finance is essentially financing projects that help in climate mitigation.
Right.
Climate mitigation is measurable in terms of the number of or the tons of carbon dioxide either saved, reduced, removed from the atmosphere.
Right.
So financing that goes to these activities that essentially reduce carbon dioxide emissions or remove them is called carbon finance.
Right. Beautifully. Very well explained. Ankit, from that perspective, how does decentralized finance come into what you guys do in carbon financing? If you could break that down for our listeners.
Yeah, that's a very good question, Kay. We are also trying to figure that out.
Yeah, of course, blockchain space and the NFT space is all a very new space, so everybody is figuring it out. So yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
So at this point, what we are trying to do is we are trying to make these investments smaller so that more and more people can actually participate in this whole financing game. I mean, we're not trying to make one large project and sell it to one large corporation there, but we're actually trying to democratize the access to regular folks who really want to put money into climate action. And that's where DeFi really comes into play, because it allows for fractionalization, it allows for traceability, it allows for a lot of price transparency to both the investors as well as project developers on the ground. And the idea is to keep growing.
Fantastic. We're using blockchain to basically track all these transactions and the action that comes out of them and whatnot. Fantastic. In India, though, I feel like carbon finance, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, is a fairly newer concept for a lot of people and corporates to kind of digest. Around the world, though, not so much. I mean, a lot of people are very aware of what it is, and the corporates use it on a regular basis. Talk to me why we are in that space as a country here in India. Who would like to take that?
I'm happy to take that.
Go for it, please.
I would say that, to be honest, India was at the forefront of actually a lot of mitigation activities. A lot of corporates actually understand it as well. It's just that offsetting as a corporate method of reducing the declared emissions is something which hasn't really picked up in India. But there's a clear trend towards it. There are companies who are facing customers outside of India who really want to put it out there that they are conscious of their emissions and they're taking all the steps to reduce them. And wherever they cannot reduce them in their own activities, they'll go for projects that can do it for them and use the offsets that are generated from the projects, you know.
Right.
So yeah, I would give due credit to the companies in India and would say that that trend is definitely growing.
You're saying that India is on par? Are we, really? That comes as a surprise to me a little bit.
Well, to be honest, India is at par when it comes to generating these,
the credits. Right, yes. Right. But I was referring to more from financing of these credits.
I'll let Saurabh take that.
Sure.
Well, Kay, so even in terms of financing these credits, what we have seen on the ground, there is interest from Indian corporates, but I would say that the interest is from a very narrow set of corporates.
Okay.
Typical listed companies who are internationally operating, who are answerable to their shareholders within and outside of India.
So the much larger MNCs we're looking at.
Exactly. So much larger MNCs, Indian MNCs, are actually keen and interested now more and more as, you know, shareholder activism picks up. But I'll just kind of want to add to what Ankit said, that while corporates may be catching up now for reasons that we are talking about, India as a geography, and I can expand it to South Asia, as a geography, is the geography which is the supplier of the maximum number of credits.
I'm aware of that. Yeah.
Right. So, and that is a position that we have had since long, since, you know, Kyoto Protocol was in action.
Sure.
And till late. Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting, because we just had COP26 that kind of happened and a lot of developments from there as well. If I'm a person as an individual, I'm just interested in a better, greener tomorrow. Is it a possibility for me as an individual to kind of invest in carbon financing and maybe get a token and stuff like that? Or would I have to shell out extremely large amounts of money and it's not possible for me?
Well, so I'll take this. So absolutely, Kay. And you know, that this is our vision behind Offset Farm. So two major things. We've been in this space. We've worked on projects.
Sure.
We've actually gotten finances to projects. And what we have seen, that project activity that is happening in India, or perhaps other developing countries, with local project developers taking up multiple risks to implement their projects,
right,
they eventually fall at the mercy of many intermediaries that play in the market.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to liquidating their carbon credits. So this is one thing that we want to change. We want money to go into the hands of project developers directly. Mm. That's what this platform is aiming at. Radical transparency when it comes to projects, when it comes to interaction of the investors,
right,
and the project developers. Like, nothing to hide, straightforward transaction. One. Second, so now answering the question you had, yes, I mean, a typical carbon project may have an issuance of, let's say, 2 million carbon credits. That is something that is definitely not acceptable for an individual investor.
Right.
But this is what Offset Farm is doing. This is, you know, one of the most suited cases for blockchain in our sector, that today we can kind of break into pieces those 2 million credits into, you know, smaller batches, and still be able.
I hate to use this kind of analogy, but we're talking like basically like a mutual fund.
with very low TER, total expense ratio.
I like it. Cool. You guys are speaking my language already. Fantastic. Okay. Cool. You know, let's quickly talk about as an individual, as an Indian, right? Am I incentivized to be part of something like this at the moment? Is there like incentive from the government to be part of something like this or not yet? Who would like to take that, Ankit?
Yeah, I'm happy to take that. I would say that people can actually invest in these activities. They can actually be part of these activities. And there's actually money to be made. And to be honest, it would be great to get incentives for these activities, but they're not necessarily needed, you know? So the government's policies are probably in the right direction when it comes to pushing people towards energy access, clean energy transition, so on and so forth.
Sure.
But you don't necessarily need enabling policies at this point for carbon or carbon offsets.
I'm just looking at it from a perspective of, say, for example, excuse me. See, I'm getting to use another financial term, like a Section 80C tax break, right? Is that something that we kind of have if I indulge in something like this or not yet? Well, maybe in the future, fingers crossed.
I would say that there are definitely incentives to buy EVs, right? So you do get a discount straight up, right? So that's your incentive,
right?
Correct? So in a way, energy transition sahi hai, just like mutual funds sahi hai, so that's what it is. Yeah,
I don't know why when this interview became like a finance interview, sorry, I didn't mean for it to be at all. I'm looking at it from an India perspective, and you say that we're a lot of implementers of a lot of these projects on ground. I would love to kind of ask you, I mean, just for like cheap thrills, to ask you almost which state is probably leading from that perspective.
Oh, it is always Maharashtra, right? I mean, all your companies are listed here.
Damn, I was like hoping you'd say Bangalore for some reason. I'm a little upset. No, that's horrible. Yeah. Okay, cool, huh?
Yeah, so, and we have more population here in Maharashtra than in Karnataka, right? So there you go.
Sure.
But having said that, I think Bangalore is definitely leading when it comes to the number of EVs that I see on the road.
That's so, I wouldn't agree with you. Then I don't know what roads you're looking at, because in Bangalore I keep making this joke that we don't have roads. But hey, you know what? We'll take it as it comes. Cool, guys. You've talked about how NFT is kind of integrated in this, how blockchain is kind of integrated into carbon financing and whatnot. And I have this conversation a lot with a lot of different founders of late, whereby a lot of them are using blockchain for various things. I feel like blockchain is going to become a very integral part of every system in the next couple of years. But for this carbon finance market, right, I would love to get from you guys where you feel it's kind of going, especially in the next 5 years. Mind you, this doesn't have to be predictions based on data and blah, blah, blah. This might be just because of your personal insight of being in the industry where you feel it's going and stuff like that. Obviously, I'm pretty sure you guys are going to say that, it's moving towards this space with the NFTs and with the tokenization and things like that. And I think that's a given. But other than that, where else do you see it going?
I'll try to answer some of that.
And sure. And then we'll hand it over to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I see that the industry is set to grow 10 to 15x by 2030, you know? So that's straight up. Now,
right.
if you look at anything that has that sort of a growth trajectory, you'll need technology to make the processes easier, right? And whatever is the cutting edge or the leading edge of the technology will eventually get used in that use case.
Right.
So from that perspective, you will have a lot of technologies in terms of traceability, MRV, and all of those other things coming in.
Right.
And blockchain actually adds that element, right? But even without all of that, I think we're going in the right direction. The space is going to grow. We need more price transparency. We need lesser transaction costs. We need more professionals to just be interested in this and actually put projects out there. And that's what we want to do at Offset Farm. You know, we want people to set up projects and for investors to feel excited about them and to keep pumping money into those professional project developers, you know.
Wonderful. Yeah. Saurabh, your thoughts?
I mean, I'll just like to add to what Ankit said. If you look at it from a historic perspective and the history of internet started with being a unidirectional information exchange between, you know, you and me, something on the desktop, I read it, and then I move to the next page. Slowly platforms took over and there was a peer-to-peer exchange. Now, slowly, the platforms became so big that they kind of dominated my exchange with you, right? Even to the extent of platforms being so strong that they could deplatform you or me.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you see it from that historic perspective and now tying it to what you're asking about, the implementation or potential for this technology in the climate finance space, I think this is going in the direction where the individual power is superseding the platform power. And that is something what Web3 supports. So today, individuals can basically, or using this technology, piggybacking on what it offers, are able to make decisions without having a central trust repository. Having someone, whom they have to trust for the sake of it. So in terms of the way technology will move forward in this direction, would actually be addressing these very fundamental issues of information asymmetry, for example, or information, clogging of information by legacy partners who were there existing in the industry, hold information for ulterior motives, for personal profits. And what happens is basically the sector suffers.
Got it.
Second, how you can make this thing much more transparent, like, as I said, radically transparent.
Right.
So this is where, again, the use case of Web3 comes in, that you're able to basically just trace each and every transaction you're doing in the market. There's just nothing to fight.
Right.
And I'll just pause here. I can go on and on.
I'm sure. But this is such a fascinating space for me. And I was just more from the perspective of, because I feel like this is like an inevitable way to go for a lot of companies out there, and then for people as well, because I mean, it's not like we're in the best place when it comes to the environment at the moment, and these things are going to become more and more necessary as we move through the years. I find the application of this extremely fascinating, but where I kind of want to leave this off before I say bye-bye to you guys is, I'm curious as to how you both came together. I mean, and how, the story is of you guys and how you met and how you decided to set up something like Offset Farm. I'm expecting like this crazy love story, but I don't know. Ankit, you want to start and then maybe Saurav will complete you like he always does.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you've already made it sound like a love story, but I'll take all the credit for getting Saurav out of a job. Saurav has spent almost a decade in EU doing climate finance, etc., consulting, blah, blah. And on the other hand, I have spent a decade trying to, go into the hinterlands and sell consumer durables to rural households. And so in the last couple of years through the pandemic, we got thinking in terms of, how can we put these projects together and get an edge on technology on this and present it like a platform to everyone. So how we know each other is that we went to the same undergrad college.
Okay.
And eventually I was able to, get Saurav to, sort of leave his cushy job, or so I think. Yeah. And set this up with me. Yeah.
Awesome. Saurav, what do you want to add?
I mean, I think that's absolute truth.
I feel like there's some secret stuff here you're not telling us.
No. This is what it is. So Ankit is a few batches senior to me in my. So when I graduated, he was setting up his current company.
Okay.
And we've basically been friends and in very regular touch ever since, even when I was not in India.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no. I was expecting a better romance story. I guess that.
Sorry.
Just didn't work out for us.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure you guys are like work wives to each other. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
Can make out that you guys are like, you work very closely together and stuff like that. Okay. Awesome. Guys, this has been cool to kind of, do. And I want to ask you one more question, if you don't mind me indulging, is for the young people out there who are interested in this space. And I'm not saying only carbon finance. I'm talking about the environmental space in general. They want to do something for a better planet, right? What would be your one piece of advice after so many years doing this that you could give to a young person probably starting off their journey and they want to kind of, do something like this? I'll start with Saurav.
I mean, I would say just take the plunge. When you are just starting off, you graduated from the college, the stakes are very less, relatively speaking. And that is the time you can take the maximum risk. So if you feel for the sector, if you have a desire to explore, I mean, just take the plunge 1 second. Don't be shy when it comes to reaching out to people who are already working in the sector. You can find them on LinkedIn, read blogs, etc. There's a whole lot of information gamut out in the social media.
Sure.
People are really willing to engage. So, I mean, to the youngsters, if this is targeted to them, don't feel intimidated. Just reach out, write to us, info@offsetfarm.io. So we'll be happy to engage, for example. So yes, take the plunge, reach out, don't fear to experiment.
Love it.
I think this is the best time to take the risk.
Super. Yeah. Ankit, what do you want to add?
Yeah, I would just add that keep at it, guys. Keep at it, you know. So once you've decided to take the plunge, as Saurabh has already suggested, just keep at it. You know, it takes a lot of persistence to change the planet, and we need all of it from you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Guys, this has been so fun to chat with you both, and I wish you all the very best, because what you're doing is clearly for a better tomorrow. But exciting times, and I really hope that, you know, a couple of years down the line, I get to say that, hey, remember those cool guys, Offset Farm? Like, I got to speak with them a very long time back when they were just kind of, you know, doing things, and you know, look at where they are today. Thank you so much for your time, both of you, Saurabh and Ankit. And once again, thank you for being on this edition of Tech for Change.
Thank you so much.
Kate. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this little episode of Tech for Change. You can find me, your host, Kay, on Instagram. I'm probably the most active there, @OffAirWithKay. That is Off Air with K-A-Y. I'm going to be back next week for another episode of Tech for Change. And if you'd like to give us feedback, well, you as a listener can reach out to us on @HTSmartcast on multiple platforms. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse. Now, to listen to more podcasts, make sure you log on to www.htsmartcast.com. I'll see you soon. Take care.
This was a Radio 1 production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.